Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
In a unanimous vote, the city council approving the mayor's plan for a $15 an hour minimum wage, the highest in the nation.
This town needs an enema.
The commute with Carlson underway here, Talk Radio 570 KVI. The radio program of record around these parts. Thanks very much for joining me every day from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. We have a great website, KVI.com. That's KVI.com. We also have a pair of superb Facebook fan pages. John Carlson Radio. That's John Carlson Radio and 570 KVI. Again, that's 570 KVI. All right, let's get to it. The $15 an hour minimum wage has passed with no dissent on the Seattle City Council. Here is Bruce Harrell, Seattle City Councilman.
I say assume positive intent. No one's on the side of big business. We're sellouts to big business. That's crap. That is absolutely crap. And I will say that if you want big business to listen to you, listen to business. The voice of the employee and the voice of the employer are intertwined.
All right. What he was referring to is Shama Sawant offered a pair of amendments with the crowd, trying to start the minimum wage next January instead of next April. And when she was voted down, she accused them of being corporate sellouts. and there's Bruce Harrell venting a little bit. But you know what? Shama Sawant, there's no reason for her to play nice. She's winning.
Yes, it is true that we will not win everything. That is clear. But people's movements today at this minute in the chambers are not being defeated by businesses. They are being defeated by the elected leadership of this city who have to take responsibility for this.
Okay. So there's the sycophants, you know, screaming and applauding. Here's Ed Murray.
It's a historic moment. It's been a tough discussion on all sides. It's been tough on the council members. It's been tough on the folks who've been in the negotiations. And I thought I just would show my support by being here.
Okay. Ed needs to be there for this historic day in Seattle. Here's what they need to do right now.
This town needs an enema.
Well, that's one thing they need to do. What we need to do is, number one, what is the unemployment rate in Seattle for entry-level work? What is the unemployment rate for teenagers seeking work? And then my friend Scott, who called last hour, said, John, if you think this is going to hurt restaurants and fast food outlets, wait until you see what happens with warehousing and with truck driving. He said they're already closing down. They don't need this. So it'd be interesting to see what the vacancy rate is for warehouses in the city of Seattle and where that work is going. All right, here are some voices speaking against the crowd quite bravely in opposition.
Another group not happy with the approved plan, local franchise owners. The International Franchise Association has already filed suit, calling the plan unfair and discriminatory. Something Chuck Stempler supports. He runs Alpha Graphics and worries the higher wage will put him out of business. Although he has 85 employees, his company is considered a big business because it's part of a national corporation.
It seems to be arbitrary and discriminatory, and we would just like to be properly categorized as a small business, which is what we are.
In other words, if you own a sandwich shop and you make deli sandwiches, you're a small business. If you own a Subway sandwich making shop, a Quiznos sandwich making shop, then you're a big business and you need to pay up sooner. That's how ridiculous this proposal is. You, again, just can't get beyond how politics rather than you know, deliberate economic policy is driving this. In fact, the Seattle Times had a very good story the other day about how it was political ideology, not economic policy making, that drove this issue. So these guys are going to sue. I think they've probably got a strong case. Now, if you want to know just how lunatic things have gotten in the city of Seattle, I've got a press release here from Nick Licata. Okay, Nick Licata, until Shama Sawant showed up, was generally thought to be the most left-wing member of the Seattle City Council. He was a 60s activist. He ran for the council in the 70s. They said, no, you know, you're too far out there. And he got elected about 15 years ago because he's more in step with the political pulse of an increasingly left-wing city government. Here is what he said after the minimum wage ordinance was passed. Mario Savio once said, as he was being dragged away by the police for setting up a card table on campus at Berkeley without a permit to provide civil rights pamphlets, "There's a time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart that you cannot take part. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you are free, the machine will be prevented from working." Mario Savio said that 50 years ago, but it's true today as well. That's Nick Licata. Nick's probably been waiting for decades. Mario Savio is credited with starting the campus unrest of the 1960s as the embodiment of the free speech movement back at Berkeley in 64. He says, that's how the fast food workers acted exactly 1 year ago in Seattle when they walked off their jobs to be free from their exploitation. And that is a powerful word filled with personal accusation, but it is not personal. It is a simple condition that has accompanied the growth of our market economy since the 1980s.
This town needs an enema.
So what we have here is, first of all, fast food workers did not walk off their jobs in any large numbers whatsoever. A few dozen did. And they were joined with union activists to make their ranks look larger. But again, that's, if you've read Rules for Radicals, that's how the left works. And there's more of this, you know, just what I would call left-wing baby talk that, you know, is coursing through Licata's remarks and what you're hearing from Ed Murray. Ed Murray says, we're turning back the economic policies that began in the 1980s. First of all, no, he's not. But it will be interesting to see the impact of Seattle's $15 an hour minimum wage on young people within the city. My guess is they've just done a terrific favor for people living outside Seattle, or for the cities and towns outside Seattle. They could use more jobs. It is coming up on 12 after 6. Yes, we'll get to your phone calls here. 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. Outside King County got 1-888-312-5757. All right, now, the obvious question to ask is, going forward, does this derail the $15 now initiative that's out gathering signatures? That's what it is intended to do. Unions are going to pull their support from the ballot measure, and they're going to give their support for this. So, should the business community rise up and offer an alternative on the November ballot? And the business community, believe it or not, is going to be divided on this. No one in particular with a couple of crackpots think that this is a great idea in the business community. But some are saying, boy, you know, if we fight this, you know, we could lose. You know, hey, open your eyes. You've already lost. You have nothing left to lose. It can't get worse. If you offer an initiative and you lose, you will be in no worse condition than you are right now. Why wouldn't you offer an alternative?
I have an update on that.
Yeah?
The group Independent Franchise Association.
Yes.
That is saying they will countersue, or they will sue over this $15 minimum wage plan that was passed by the city council yesterday. We're going to have a guest from that group to talk about why they see this as discriminatory, why they will sue, why they think this is arbitrary, and that'll come up at 6:34. So
excellent. Okay, and
18-19 minutes away.
Yes, and excellent, because we've been chasing them. Good for getting them on the air here. But it's not just the court of law that matters. It's the court of public opinion. And, you know, right now, the immediate afterglow of, we've made history! We've done something no other city has done! Okay, let that die down for a week and just see where we are. And, you know, after, quote, reality, close quote, sets in. Because it's not just, this is more than just a legal matter. My concern on this is you're going to see a lot of good, hardworking small business owners hurt. You're going to see a lot of good young people who are working and who want to work going to get their hours cut, or they're going to lose their job outright. So, I mean, I am really tempted. And you know what? If I were a national news host, I'd probably say, oh, good, Seattle. Why don't you just go ahead and we'll come back in a year or two and see how you're doing. See, I understand that impulse completely. As someone who grew up here, went to college here, who lived here, and who still works here and has many friends here and many listeners here, I really don't want to see those people hurt any more than they've already been hurt. So I would love to see an alternative on the ballot. But the business community in Seattle is so weak, with the exception of a few behemoths who have immense influence, Paul Allen being a prominent example. The business community does not speak with a very strong voice. And, of course, what they say is, we prefer to collaborate rather than be confrontational. You're collaborating in your own demise. Fools, open your eyes, for crying out loud. Look where you are now. Shama Sawant's $15 an hour slogan a year ago is now official city policy. You've got Nick Licata quoting Mario Savio. You've got Mayor Ed Murray saying, we're repealing the economic policies that began under Ronald Reagan. And, you know, this is all about reducing income inequality. If you want to know the source of income inequality, the source of income inequality in this country is the rising level of the stock market. I mean, there was a time during 2010, 2011, where income inequality fell in this country. There was a reduction in income inequality. Did you see anyone celebrating? No, they weren't celebrating. You know why they weren't celebrating? Because the incomes of the wealthy were tumbling. The number of millionaires in America during the recession and the period immediately thereafter fell by 40%. The income of the top 1% fell by 36%. And, of course, the left will say, oh, well, boo freaking who? They didn't have an extra few million. They lost a few million, and they have hundreds of millions, you know, to lose. What that overlooks is that reduced income inequality, but no one was celebrating because everyone was miserable. the collapse of top incomes didn't help people on the bottom. It didn't help people in the middle class. It coincided with the poor getting poorer and the middle class falling into economic disarray. You want to know one of the results of that economy, of the Obama economy? Get this. The percentage of American kids, the percentage of Americans under the age of 35 who are living at home with their parents is 1 out of 3. 1 out of 3 American adults under 35 are living with their parents. So you talk about the impact that the Obama economy and where we've been going in trying to hammer the rich. This is where it's taken us. And this economic illiteracy being celebrated as history is just another sign of the times. So my guess is after the celebration dies down, reality sets in, we're going to see not many people celebrating. It's 21 minutes after 6 o'clock in the morning. The Commute with Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI in 14 minutes. We'll have someone who represents restaurant franchise owners on to have their piece.
It's an exciting moment for Seattle, for the state, and I think for the nation. We're about to turn back 34 years of failed economic policies that have decimated the middle class in this nation.
This town needs an enema.